Devastating wildfires in Southern California are now in their fourth day. At least 500,000 and possibly up to 1 million people have been forced to evacuate their homes. It's the largest evacuation in California's history. At least 1,500 homes have been destroyed. Most of those are in San Diego County. As many as 5 people have been killed because of the fires, and at least 24 people have been injured. Most of them are firefighters. The Los Angeles Times reports that San Bernardino police shot and killed a suspected arsonist last night. The suspect was in a remote brushy area and reportedly rammed his vehicle into police vehicles before the officers fired their weapons. The shooting is under investigation. In Washington today, President Bush signed a major disaster declaration for 7 Southern California counties. He will visit the region tomorrow. President Bush also spoke about Cuba today. He challenged the international community to help support the, quote, democratic movement growing on the island, end quote. He criticized the communist regime and urged the transition into a free society after current longtime leader Fidel Castro is gone. The State Department's top security official, Richard Griffin, announced he is resigning today. The decision comes in the wake of the recent deadly shooting incident in Iraq involving Blackwater USA, a private security firm that protects State Department employees. According to a report by the Congressional Budget Office, the total cost of the Iraq and Afghanistan wars could equal $2.4 trillion by the year 2017. The nonpartisan report included debt servicing costs, assuming that spending for the war will be financed by borrowing. Turkish forces have attacked Kurdish rebels located inside Turkey just along the border with Iraq. Turkey used warplanes and helicopter gunships as part of the operations against the rebels. The Western allies are trying to prevent Turkey from conducting a cross-border offensive into Iraq. Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice blamed Iran today for being an obstacle to U.S. goals in the Middle East. She testified before the House Foreign Affairs Committee. First Lady Laura Bush is traveling in the Middle East to raise awareness of women's health issues such as breast cancer. In Saudi Arabia, about 70% of breast cancer cases are not reported until the late stage. This is QNN.
You know you can depend on QNN for honest news. Now we want you to know about an honest source of information on one of the country's most desirable vacation destinations, Carmel by the Sea on California's beautiful central coast. That source is the best address in Carmel, carmel.com. Just a few simple clicks and you're visiting a website that mirrors all that Carmel stands for: quality, character, tradition, beauty, the great outdoors by the sea, cultural heritage, and the best shopping, charming inns, superb dining, world-class art, music, and theater, a cornucopia of delights. So when you're planning your next getaway, go to the best address in Carmel, carmel.com, for tips on everything Carmel. Then put that information to good use by visiting Carmel by the Sea for an unforgettable getaway, carmel.com.
Astronauts on the space shuttle Discovery are inspecting the craft for damage after several pieces of foam insulation fell off during Tuesday's liftoff. China today launched its first lunar orbiter. Beijing's year-long expedition is the first step in a space program designed to land an unmanned moon rover by 2012 and a manned mission to the moon by 2020. Amtrak reports it had a record nearly 26 million passengers for the 2007 fiscal year. That is a boost of 1.5 million from the previous year. In September, sales of existing homes fell 8%, a record amount, and more than the 4.5% decline that was predicted. The median price of a home in September dropped to $211,700. That amount is down more than 4% from a year ago. The largest broker in the nation, Merrill Lynch, reported it had to write down nearly $8 billion in mortgage and related assets. It's the company's first loss in 6 years. Gold is trading at $765.60 an ounce. Light sweet crude has been trading above the $87 barrel mark today, currently at $87.10 on the New York Mercantile Exchange. And at the close of Wall Street today, the Dow Jones was down 1 point, the NASDAQ was down 25 points, and the S&P 500 was down 4 points. There's always more at our website, qualitynewsnetwork.com. I'm Allie Dramoff.
And now, from Washington, the Inside Scoop. All the news the government does not want you to hear. Now, here's your host on the Inside Scoop, Mark Levine.
Good afternoon, America. Welcome to the Inside Scoop. The telecommunications companies of America want immunity for violating your Fourth Amendment rights and sending trillions of pieces of unlawful data, namely your phone records and my phone records and the phone records of 250 million Americans, practically all of us that don't belong to Quest Communication Company, to the government. They want immunity for spying on American citizens without a warrant. They want immunity for breaching the Constitution. To describe what happened here, I need to go before Chris Dodd did the heroic statement that he's going to issue a hold on the legislation, and I'll tell you what that means under Senate rules. It goes before the Senate Intelligence Committee cravenly caved in with the leader of West Virginia Senator Jay Rockefeller, who saw some documents given by the Bush administration, and in return, that plus tens of thousands of dollars from telecommunications companies bought his vote. It goes before the Democrats were afraid that George Bush would excoriate them for letting the terrorists win, and so they approved a bill for 6 months to include certain warrantless wiretaps, but did not include immunity. It goes before the George Bush administration put forward executive orders violating the Constitution in the first place, orders that were so illegal that the AT&T and Verizon and their legion of lawyers at the highest price are losing to citizens. Because judges say the law is so obvious that that of course they had to know they were breaking it. No, it goes back to the Fourth Amendment itself of the United States Constitution preventing illegal searches and seizures. No, it goes before that to merry old England. That's right. I'm beginning my story today with something that occurred, a good 800 years ago. We can start with the Magna Carta, which says that the king does not have all power and that the legislature, the parliament, has some power. And specifically, as you settle back and listen to Constitutional Law 101, I want to tell you how you had rights in merry old England under the common law when the sheriff of the county in England started to trample them. You see, in England, they didn't have such niceties as the state secrets privilege that we now have today, which says, in effect, that even if you have a lawful claim against the government, even if your rights have been trampled on, even if the government has totally destroyed your life, you have no claim if the government says this is too secret to tell people about. Because if we tell people about how unlawful we are, people will cease to trust that we guarantee the rule of law. We'll get to that contradiction in a minute. I want to go back to merry old England because one of the things I learned in law school early on, one of the first classes, was amidst all the Latin and trespass on the case and all the stuff they taught us in law school, I learned how it was that the citizen stopped unlawful acts by a police officer. You see, the rule in merry old England, or the common law, is if somebody hits you or steals from you or spies on you, or goes into your house, and a man's home is his castle, it is, at first glance, presumptuously wrong. You can't do that. You can't hit someone. You can't steal from them. You can't spy on them. You can't look at their private acts. However, there's an exception. We understand the police power of the government. And so the way English law worked was first you had to prove that you were unlawfully hit or spied on or attacked. And then the police officer, the sheriff, would come back and say, but I had a right to do it under the rule of law. And if the sheriff did have a right to do it and could point to the statute under Parliament under which the sheriff acted, then you had no claim. The sheriff came into your house. He had a warrant. He arrested you pursuant to that warrant, signed, sealed, delivered by a judge. You have no claim. But what's interesting is this whole legal idea, the idea that someone just can't spy on you. Someone can't physically attack you. Someone can't do anything to you unless they have color of law is what influenced our Constitution. It's what influenced the Fourth Amendment to the United States Constitution. Because The government does not own you. That's not how American law works. That's not how our forebears in England works. It's not that, as it does in some countries, you have no rights, and the government gives you a limited set of rights. No, 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 no. That's not how America works. In America, we have such things as life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. We have these basic freedoms. Your home is your castle. It cannot be invaded. You cannot have people touch your body or steal your things or spy on you unless there is a legal right to do so. And if there is none, guess what? You win, and the people that invaded you lose. And these concepts were placed ever so clearly in the Fourth Amendment to the Constitution, a document that I understand the president had difficulty reading and extreme difficulty understanding, which is probably why he shouldn't have taken an oath to uphold it in the first place. But I will read to you, my intelligent audience, people who understand the law far better than the current dictator, president, who rules us today. The Fourth Amendment to the United States Constitution reads in full, "The right of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures shall not be violated, and no warrant shall issue, but upon probable cause, supported by oath or affirmation, and particularly describing the place to be searched and the persons or things to be seized." You know, you got to give our founders credit. Yeah, they were slave owners, and they were misogynistic, and they didn't believe in a lot of rights of non-Christian white men. But they got the Fourth Amendment right, because the English got it right. The idea is you have these freedoms, and it can only be undone with a warrant, supported by oath or affirmation, particularly describing the things to be searched. Now, if you don't like the Bill of Rights, then I suggest you either, I don't know, move to China or seek to amend the Constitution. But like it or not, Mr. President, they are our laws. So fast forward to September 11th, an attack on the United States, not our first. Heck, the British, those wonderful British, burned down our White House in the War of 1812. I think it was 1814 when they did it. And, of course, the Japanese bombed Pearl Harbor. We had the Civil War. We've certainly had trials and travails in the past. But somehow George Bush felt, for the first time in American history, the Fourth Amendment wasn't good enough. For the first time in American history, obviously, according to George Bush, September 11th was worse than the Civil War, where hundreds of thousands of Americans massacred each other. It was worse than Pearl Harbor. It was worse, I guess, than the War of 1812 when they burned the White House to the ground, because he decided simply to ignore it. And he issued a number of executive orders that are still secret to this day, but which purportedly authorize is the wrong word, order telecommunications companies to turn over trillions of bits of personal data, yours and mine, yes. They know when you've been sleeping. They know when you're awake. They know if you're bad or good, whether you called your mother on Mother's Day or whether you ordered porn. So be good, for goodness sake. Big Brother's watching you. That's not the America that we were supposed to have. And yet, telecommunications companies, AT&T and Verizon and all of them, rolled over and said, "Yes, sir." They forgot that basic British concept. Because even if the government tells you to do something, if it's not legal, you can be sued. This isn't some fancy pants Nuremberg concept where, obviously, if the government orders you to murder someone and you do it, you're still not safe. I support certainly the Nuremberg laws. Chris Dodd, who's putting a hold on the telecommunications bill, cited his father's action as a prosecutor at Nuremberg as one of the things that made him decide this, the rule of law. But we don't have to go to Nuremberg. We just go back to ancient British basic law school 101. Now, I realize George Bush didn't go to law school. But basic law school 101 is if somebody takes action and it's not authorized by law, they're liable for it, right? If a police officer hits you and it's authorized by law, they can hit you. They can hit you, they can handcuff you. But if they do it and it's not authorized by law, you can sue that police officer individually. It's his fault. Make him pay. Well, AT&T and Verizon acted so outside the law that they know they're in trouble. Because court after court, and I mean conservative courts, I mean, let's face it, our courts today are pretty conservative, have ruled against these companies. What does the law say? It gives them a lot of immunity already. It says if they get a court order, immunity. If they simply get a certification from the Attorney General, and remember we had Gonzalez all this time, that statutory requirements authorizing the handover of telephone email records are met, they have immunity. That's all they need, a court order, or the Attorney General saying, hey, you know, you followed the statute. That's all they need. So why, after court, why are they demanding immunity now? Well, obviously, because they were acting illegally. And the only telecommunications company that refused was Quest. Quest Communications and its former chief executive, Joe Nacho, I hope I'm pronouncing his name right, told the administration no. They said to the administration, okay, we'll give you the documents. Could you show us the warrant, please? Could you please show us the court subpoena? Could you please get that certification that's required under the law? The administration said, we don't have it. Give us your client's records anyway. And Quest said no. So AT&T and Verizon, maybe they should have said no as well. Maybe they should have respected the American people. Maybe they should have followed the Fourth Amendment. Quest was certainly punished. They lost a number of high-level contacts, and then Joe Nacho was prosecuted for insider trading. Now, I don't know the extent he's guilty of insider trading. I haven't looked at all those details, but I can tell you this. One of his defenses was, I expected to get a whole bunch of business from the government. We had these contracts, and suddenly when I refused to turn over these documents, these contracts dried up. So that's the situation prior to it going to Congress. I will tell you more about it right after the break. We'll be right back with more of the Inside Scoop following this.
We know you want to save big on your phone bill, and we know how you can.
That's right. We do.
We're saving more than 50% on our home phone bill since we switched to CityNet's digital phone plan.
Really? Over 50%?
CityNet's digital phone plan is only $24.95 a month.
Only $24.95?
You get unlimited local and long-distance calling.
Just $24.95?
And with CityNet's digital phone plan, you keep your current number. All you need is a high-speed internet connection. Get details at citynet.net.
$24.95.
And, oh, this is cool. With CityNet's digital plan, I can use my home phone anywhere in the world with high-speed internet. No extra cost.
There's 20, and there's 4, and there's 95.
Did I mention CityNet is a West Virginia-owned company?
Did I mention $24.95?
Save at least 50% on your residential phone. Get unlimited local and long distance, and keep your same number, all for just $24.95 a month. Visit citynet.net today for more details. Some exclusions and restrictions may apply.
Here's the guy changing the way you hear music, Billy Shears.
Tune in to Night Sounds this Saturday night, 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern. It's our Halloween special featuring plenty of spectacular songs. We'll have some new music and Night Sounds dedications with Erica Richards. So don't miss it. It should be a thriller.
Hey, thanks for lending an ear.
Listen, man, adding fractions is no big deal.
Nah?
No, you just got to find what they call the common denominator. Let me show you.
All right.
Now, see these bottom numbers?
Yeah.
These are the denominators. That one's a 4 and that one's an 8.
Mm-hmm.
You just double both of these numbers so that becomes an 8 too. Then you add them up.
Man, you sure make this easy.
Charles Bennett always dreamed that after college he'd return to the old neighborhood as a teacher. But without the money for tuition, only half of his dream came true. He's back in the old neighborhood.
Well, enough math. I gotta deliver these sandwiches.
Oh, sure.
Please support the United Negro College Fund. Call 1-800-332-UNCF. A mind is a terrible thing to waste. A public service brought to you by UNCF and the Ad Council.
From Washington, more of the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. I'm describing the history of the fight that's going on right now to give telecommunications companies immunity for spying on us in violation of the Constitution. No one seems to have questioned the fact that the Constitution is supposed to trump the nation's laws. No one seems to have questioned the fact that the president has clearly gone beyond the law, or these companies wouldn't be in danger to begin with. After all, current law is very easy. Just get a court order. And if you can't get it from a regular court, there's always the secret court under the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act, which says that you can go ahead and hand over the documents, but you need the court order 72 hours later. If the telephone companies had handed over the material and then said, but if you can't give the order 72 hours later, we have to notify the person that you took the material from and go to the press, so where's our court order? Or they could have simply got a certification by the Attorney General, Alberto Fredo, break the law however you want, Gonzalez, who himself may be soon facing criminal charges. Wouldn't that be beautiful? Based on his lies before Congress and his breaking of America's freedoms under the law. But when they couldn't get either, now they're losing. They're losing in court battle after court battle. So here's the idea. It looks bad for AT&T and Verizon doing business with consumers. It just looks bad to say, yes, welcome to Verizon. We give you this wonderful deal. You get telephone service for $33.95, and we install cameras in your home and report on everything you do to the government. That's the fine print, you see. They say that really quick so that nobody knows what's going on. Yeah, we give you this wonderful big screen TV, and behind it, Big Brother watches every movement you make. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that what America's all about? Ensuring that we all conform to government standards? Well, they don't want people to know that they did this. And so, if they can just get Congress to give them retroactive immunity, I want you to think about that. Retroactive immunity. You know, it's already against the law to have what's called an ex post facto law. It's against the law to make criminal activity that occurred in the past. And that makes sense. Somebody breaks a law. Doesn't break a law. Somebody does something. Let's say that, prostitution is not legal. It is legal in some counties in Nevada. Someone has sex in Nevada, pays a prostitute, but it's legal, say. And then it would be illegal under our Constitution for a legislature to say, okay, we're making prostitution illegal now, and we're punishing you for the crimes you did when it was legal. That's unfair. That's ex post facto. You can't do it. Well, now we're having the reverse of ex post facto. We're taking conduct that was illegal and making it legal. Now that's allowed under our Constitution, but presumably something you want to do sparingly. Somebody knowingly breaks the law, and you want to say they won't be held for their consequences. And if Congress acts quickly, they can give this retroactive liability, immunity from liability, prior to the courts coming down with the final conclusion that these big companies broke the law, which is so, so bad for their advertising. Well, give it to Quest. Heck, if Quest were out here, I would join them now. Give it to Quest, the one telecommunications company that said no. Listen to this statement from Herbert Stern. He's the lawyer for Joe Nacho, the CEO of Quest at the time. Quote, Mr. Nacho made inquiry as to whether a warrant or other legal process had been secured in support of that request, the quest to get several phone records. When he learned that no such authority had been granted, and there was a disinclination on the part of the authorities to use any legal process, including the special court which had been established to handle such matters, Mr. Nacho concluded that these requests violated the privacy requirements of the Telecommunications Act. All right, that makes sense, right? The government said they don't want to follow the law. And so, Joe Nacho and Quest said no. And what happened? Well, as a court has already found, Quest entered into two classified contracts valued at hundreds of millions of dollars without a competitive bidding process. That's what the government does these days. They give out hundreds of millions of dollars without competition, a process that obviously is wrong. But after refusing the government's requirement that he violate the Fourth Amendment, these are my words, not the court's, he had discussions with, quote, high-ranking representatives concerning the possibility of awarding additional contracts valued at amounts that would more than offset the negative warnings he made about Quest's financial prospects. In essence, at the end of the day, he lost the contracts. Nacho said it was a legal issue. They said he'd like to help, but his general counsel told him not to because he could be sued. That's my addition, not there. The filing says, quote, Nacho projected he might still do it if they could find a way to do it legally. So here you have a good corporate citizen, someone doing the right thing, and they're punished. They're punished by the government. The company is in big trouble. The CEO gets prosecuted. And now we want to take the people who broke the law and give them retroactive immunity, which apparently all their high-priced lawyers can't seem to get them, even in courts that are dramatically packed with Republican pro-big corporation appointees. Like, I don't want to go there talking about Southwick today. That'll just make me blow my top. Meanwhile, Verizon turned over information 94,000 times. Apparently that was with a subpoena or a court order, and more than 700 times without. I suspect it's much more. I suspect this is just the tip of the iceberg. But here's the kicker. Congress doesn't know what the programs were that the administration wants to give them immunity for. The administration is going to Congress and asking for immunity for programs it won't tell Congress what they were doing. So between September 11, 2001, and a USA Today article that came out in 2006, the administration was illegally spying, and we know it's illegal because all these companies are losing their lawsuits, was illegally spying, according to USA Today, on hundreds of millions of Americans. That's you, that's me, that's all of us that don't use Quest. Again, it may not be true, but hey, they won't show us the documents. USA Today says it's true. Without even showing the inclination to seek authority. Not from the courts. Not even from the secret court. We know that the FISA court threatened to resign over this, a number of them. Not even from Congress. And in fact, we also know the FISA court started rejecting prosecution of people the administration said were terrorists because they got the information through these illegal manners. So they decided to go to Congress. FISA court wasn't cooperating. They weren't allowing these illegal warrants to be used in evidence. They decided to go to Congress. And the FISA court had said, no, no more. You can't get any more. So it was an emergency. And a couple months ago, because of this emergency. The Democratic Congress, which would have been threatened with, oh no, they're going to support the terrorists and so forth, granted, not the immunity, but granted the administration the lawfulness of what they had done illegally for several years. It was a terrible cave-in, but it was done because, well, it was an emergency basis, and the courts weren't accepting it anymore, and heck, you know that the administration was going to blame any terrorist act anywhere on the Democrats if they weren't allowed to pursue these means. Meanwhile, they didn't tell the Democrats how they were pursuing these means. But the one thing the Democrats got done in that bill, the one shining light, is that they knew that they would need time to look at this carefully. So they said, all right, Mr. President, we'll give you everything you asked for. He didn't ask for immunity at that time. But it's only going to be for 6 months. We'll give you 6 months of where you say we need this to stop the terrorists, fine. But it's going to come up for renewal very shortly. And then we're going to insist on doing it right. And that was the situation as of a few weeks ago. And I will tell you what happened after that, after this next break. We'll be right back with more of the Inside Scoop right after this.
This is the Head On Radio Network, The Horn.
Harry Potter has given us all a unique glimpse at education the way it ought to be. Never once do Harry and his Hogwarts friends talk about skipping class, ducking tough instructors, waiving requirements, or shirking responsibilities. That perspective, be practical, get it the easiest, fastest, cheapest way you can, is what J.K. Rowling terms the Muggle approach to education. We're Concord University, and do we have a deal for you? At Concord, education's different than anywhere else around. There's a reason that Concord students get the best jobs, are sought out by the best medical, graduate, and law schools in the land. It's no wonder that Concord has been cited by U.S. News & World Report and by the Wall Street Journal. Where do I sign up? At Southern West Virginia's version of Track 9 and 3 Quarters. All you have to do is believe, and believe in yourself. Concord University, an education you can put to work. 1-888-384-5249.
I'm Matt Rothschild, the editor of the Progressive magazine, with my progressive point of view, which you can also grab off our website over at progressive.org. 45 years ago this week, our nation, our world, almost ceased to exist. This was the Cuban Missile Crisis, and if it weren't for the coolness under pressure of Khrushchev and Bobby and JFK, none of us might be here today to talk about it. So it's a particularly inappropriate time for President Bush to be ratcheting up pressure on Cuba yet again. To be sure, well, at least I hope I can be sure, Bush isn't threatening nuclear war over Cuba this time, but he is meddling in Cuba's internal affairs as every president has since Eisenhower. Bush is calling on the Cuban people to resist Fidel and Raul Castro, and Bush is also trying to ally with the Cuban police and military against the Castro brothers. When Fidel got ill last year, the Bushies indulged in fantasies again, believing that the Cuban people would celebrate the imminent demise of their leader and seize the hour to overthrow the regime. But once again, Bush's fantasies didn't come true. The Cuban people did not rebel. In fact, they took in stride the transition to Raul. There's a lesson here, similar to the lesson of the Cuban Missile Crisis. We should abandon a foreign policy of fantasy, and we should abandon the very idea that we have a right to tell Cubans how to govern themselves. I'm Matt Rothschild, and that's how I see it.
Obviously need to address the issue of the Saddam Hussein execution. Have seen the video that was taken on a cell phone, or have read about the circumstances surrounding the execution. It's pretty evident that the absolutely worst thing that could have happened with the carrying out of the sentence after the long trial of Saddam Hussein happened. And if we had sat down and made a list and said, all right, here's a list of six or seven different things that could happen, what would be the very, very worst thing that could happen, not only for us, for the United States, but for the world and for the Iraqis themselves? And it seems to me that if not first, then definitely second would have been what indeed did happen.
The Dr. Bill O'Brien Show, Tuesday to Thursday, noon to 2 Eastern, here on the Head On Radio Network.
From Washington, back to the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. So here we are now, taking the story up to October 2007, to the current month. As of the beginning of this month, there is a bill, there's a law, that says basically you can spy on people without a warrant, a clear violation of the Fourth Amendment, by the way, but it only lasts for 6 months. So the Democrats approved a constitutional violation, but hey, it ends in 6 months, and you know, that's better than nothing. Actually, it's a lot better than nothing. Because now, as the administration seeks to renew the bill, there's public hearings. This isn't gone on in a rush. And telecommunications companies are brought before House and Senate panels and asked, what did you do? What did you turn over? What law did you base it on? And they refuse to answer. Because they say the Bush administration won't let them answer. Now, that's interesting. The Bush administration won't let them tell Congress when they're asked questions under oath. Who told you you couldn't say that? Let's put them in contempt. But that's where we were. And the members of Congress had no idea what it was that the administration even authorized. They hadn't seen the secret executive orders. They had no idea. When Senator Jay Rockefeller, the now chairman of the Intelligence Committee, he used to be the ranking member, which only means that the Democrats were in the minority, now the majority. When he first heard about the program, he was told he couldn't tell anyone, not even his own staff. Apparently the White House can have an army of lawyers working for Dick Cheney, trying to undermine our constitutional rights. But Senator Rockefeller couldn't even tell his own lawyer. Couldn't even use the word processing equipment in the Senate. So what he did is he wrote a handwritten letter to the president saying he disagreed. Thank you, Senator Rockefeller. I guess that's better than nothing. But, of course, it didn't go on until the Fourth Estate, the press, actually told everyone the truth about it. So now the telecommunication companies are upset. They are being sued for violations of privacy. They are like the old sheriff in Nottingham or wherever, England, who's being sued because, hey, you can't just spy on Americans. You got to have a basis in the law. I know this is elementary law school 101, but like I say, our government doesn't seem to know the basics in the law. So they're upset. They want immunity. There was no immunity in the six-month provision that the Democrats agreed to. And the Republicans are pushing very hard. After all, who finances their campaigns if not AT&T and Verizon and all the large telecommunications companies? So they said to Senator Rockefeller, chairman of the Intelligence Committee, we need you to provide this immunity. And Rockefeller, at the time standing up for principle, said, immunity for what? Oh, we can't tell you. Well, I'm not going to give a bill that gives you immunity if you don't tell me what for. Now, a markup is a fancy word used when you start a bill in committee, when you basically pass a bill through committee. We call it markups. And as Rockefeller said at the time, no documents, no markup. The administration said, sorry, we're not going to give you the documents. And Rockefeller said, okay, I'm scheduling something else, no markup. Well, the White House caved. We don't know what they gave Senator Rockefeller, but we know they gave him something. They gave him some aspects, maybe all, who knows, of the administration's immunity, illegal surveillance program. Okay? Then Rockefeller caved and persuaded as many Democrats as he could on the Intelligence Committee, which already had the support of all the Republicans, led by Missouri Senator Bond, to support the bill. Now, Senator Ron Wyden of Oregon was a prime hero in trying to stop the bill. as well as Senator Feingold, who's always terrific on these things, the one senator who voted against the Patriot Act of Wisconsin. And Bill Nelson of Florida, in fact, also tried to strip the immunity provisions from the bill, and they lost 12-3. Those were the only three senators in support. And then when the bill came to the floor, only Feingold and Wyden, excuse me, not to the floor, through committee, only Feingold and Wyden were against the bill in committee. Now, Wyden did stick in an amendment, and it's a good one. It's an amendment that says that the government has to at least get a warrant when targeting an American overseas for intelligence. In other words, if you're an American citizen and you happen to travel overseas, you still have our constitutional protections. And that did pass, I'm glad to say. In fact, the amendment was so scary that the White House spokesman said, quote, "We have strong concerns about that amendment. We certainly could not accept it," unquote, said Tony Fratto. And Bond, the head Republican on the Intelligence Committee, called the provision problematic and said if it is not modified, passage could be difficult. So maybe Wyden issued a poison pill, at the very least saying that Americans have constitutional protections on the Fourth Amendment, even if they're overseas. But in terms of the bill itself, with Senator Rockefeller leading the way, flush with the campaign cash, I should let you know, because if you look at the money that Verizon AT&T gave to Senator Rockefeller, up through 06, it's practically nothing. It's, I think, $2,000 to $4,000 over 5 years, and then increased to $40,000 in 1 year, so increased 16-fold. Rockefeller insists it's not about the money. Whatever is the case, Rockefeller did roll over, and they passed the bill out of committee. And it looked like it was going to the floor. It looked like the Democrats were going to cave in. But then came a hero by the name of Senator Christopher Dodd. Yes, he's running for president. Some said he's just doing it for his presidential campaign. I don't really care why. Dodd cited the Constitution. He cited his father and his father's work as a prosecutor at Nuremberg. And he did something that we normally hear from people like Strom Thurmond. May he rest not in peace. He's putting a hold on the bill. Now, what is a hold? A hold is one of those arcane Senate procedures. It used to be anonymous, my friends. Now, the Democrats, to their credit, have required people put their names on it. And Dodd put his name on that hold. And the hold is traditionally honored by the majority leader. Traditionally, if one senator puts a hold on it, then it doesn't go to the floor. It's dead. It's gone. I know that Strom Thurmond used it to block our ambassador to Luxembourg because he was gay. Will Harry Reid honor Chris Dodd's hold? I don't know. He may or may not. At the very least, Dodd's hold means it's going to require 60 votes. There's going to be a filibuster. And to their credit, a bit slow, but to their credit, Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama, also senators, and Joe Biden too, all senators running for president, they signed on. So he's bringing it to popular attention. But what are we going to do about Rockefeller? Well, on the Judiciary Committee, see, this bill has to pass through not only the Intelligence Committee, but the Judiciary Committee as well. The Judiciary Committee is supposed to look at this bill, too. So Senator Leahy, chairman of the Judiciary Committee, and even Arlen Specter, the ranking Republican on the committee, said, we're not going to give immunity unless we see the documents. At which point, White House spokeswoman Dana Perino said one of the most Orwellian things I've ever heard this administration say, and they say a lot of Orwellian things. Perino said about why they wouldn't share documents with the Judiciary Committee, but they would share them with the Intelligence Committee, quote, because they were willing to do that, because the Intelligence Committee had committed to passing their legislation, because they were willing to do that, we were willing to show them some of the documents they asked to see. Some. Asked who else might see those documents, Perino said, quote, I think we'll wait and see who else is willing to include that provision in the bill, unquote. Give us immunity for something that you don't know anything about. Promise us that you will grant blanket immunity for all kinds of illegal behavior, and we in return will let you know what the illegal behavior was after you grant us the immunity. To which Steny Hoyer, number two Democrat in the House, said, quote, this is not a dictatorship. This is a democracy. So while Rockefeller and Bond were praising each other's bipartisanship on the Intelligence Committee, the Judiciary Committee is fighting back. Leahy inspectors say, we want to see the documents. But what documents are they showing them? Even Dana Perino said, we showed them some of the documents. Specter and Leahy wrote a letter to White House counsel saying, quote, if the administration wants our support for immunity, it should comply with the subpoenas, provide the information, and justify its request. But what if they show a few documents to the Judiciary Committee? It's then when we need the heroic Chris Dodd, along with, I mean, let's be fair, he's not the first. I mean, Russ Feingold has always been heroic on these issues. I mean, he's truly the hero here. But Chris Dodd gets a lot of credit for moving this from cave-in to filibuster to a hold. Chris Dodd said, I can't even remember the last time I put a hold on a bill. It's frankly an undemocratic thing. But the majority leader is supposed to respect those. Now, the question is whether Harry Reid will. And the more we talk about this, and the more senators sign on, the less likely it is that Harry Reid's going to break Senate tradition and break Dodd's hold, because he can do that. Clinton has signed on, yes. Obama has signed on, yes. Biden has signed on. Other presidential candidates who aren't in the Senate, like Richardson, have signed on. And it's really a very basic point. Why are we giving immunity to someone who breaks the law? Now, AT&T and Verizon say, well, you know, we broke the law, but we did so because the president told us to. Nuremberg, anyone? They knew it was against the law. The Quest chairman knew it was against the law. He said no. He said no. And so, well, it will be very interesting. But I'm hoping that finally the Democrats are getting a little bit of, shall we say, cojones. And I ask your help. I need you to call your senator, your representative. The Capitol switchboard number is on my blog if you forget it. I'll tell it to you here. It's 202-224-3121. That leads to any representative of Congress. Anyone you got. 202-224-3121. But it's on my blog at radioinsidescoop.com. I need you to call your representatives and ask them to stand firm that lawlessness should be punished, that we don't live in the Soviet Union, we don't live in East Germany, we do not want the government spying on all of us. And if telecommunications companies, which already have tremendous power, choose to spy on us anyway, well, then they should pay, just like the sheriff in Merry Old England. Now, the House credit, to their credit, all of you that are attacking Nancy Pelosi, the House, to their credit, is refusing to pass this bill. And they're going to have to get something through the House. The House has tried to pass a bill without the telecommunications immunity provision. The Republicans threw up a procedural block to that. But the House is willing to block it. It's really just a question of standing firm. And Chris Dodd, it's amazing how when one person stands firm, suddenly a whole bunch of people follow suit. Isn't that cool? I mean, what the Democrats were going to do is what they usually do. Let it come to the floor. You know, most of them vote against it, but a couple lean over, and boom, it gets through. But they're actually doing a filibuster. They're actually doing what the Republicans normally do. They're actually standing up for constitutional freedoms. Chris Dodd said that he was sorry that last year he refused to filibuster. He stopped. He didn't put a hold on the military commissions bill, the one that said basically we can try all these people at Guantanamo Bay and so forth without a court and can do so without due process or very little due process. He says he regrets that. It was a mistake. And he's saying no more. No more torture. No more secret prisons. These are his words. We've got to put a stop somewhere. But I have to tell you, they need your help. They really do. For the Democrats to have backbone, they need you and me to call in and support this. Because we all know what happens when the Democrats don't have backbone. We have people like Senator Feinstein of California switching and voting to confirm people who I believe are racist, like Judge Leslie Southwick of Mississippi. It's all about backbone. It's about really moving the debate. Moving the debate beyond what we say on the left, what liberals say, and moving the debate to America as a whole. The Constitution should not be a question of whether you're a Republican or a Democrat. It should not be that Democrats respect, revere, and uphold the Constitution, and Republicans hate it, shred it, and think it's an awful document. If Republicans truly hate the Constitution, they need to say so very explicitly. They need to say, we support dictatorship, not democracy. We hate the rule of law. We want the president to have all powers. We want the president as our Führer. They could at least come clean and say that. But if they don't say that, then we're going to have to assume that they actually respect the Constitution. And that means, going back to our old friend the Fourth Amendment, no warrant shall issue except upon probable cause, particularly describing the places and things to be searched. You have the right to be secure in your persons, houses, papers, and effects. What are your effects? Well, I suggest that would include where you go on the internet, who you send emails to, who you call, who calls you. Because the FBI was taking not just the purported terrorists, but was looking at who they called, and who they called, and who they called. And you know what? If you have probable cause to go after someone, by all means, do it. Heck, I even support the death penalty for terrorists. Some of you may not. But what people need to understand is that these are our constitutional freedoms. And they are not to be given away lightly. The oft-quoted Ben Franklin is always worth repeating. Those who would sacrifice liberty for the sake of security deserve neither. So, I want to give credit to Dodd where that is due. I want to give discredit to Rockefeller. By the way, I don't think it's hopeless. Those of you in West Virginia need to give it to Rockefeller. He can still support the filibuster. He needs to understand that it's not just a question of whether he's satisfied with the few documents that Dana Perino says he was given. We don't know that he was given all the documents. We have a White House that is refusing to comply with subpoenas. In the Senate Judiciary Committee, they issued subpoenas for these documents months ago. And they gave the White House extension after extension after extension. And now the White House is saying, well, we need more time. Give us immunity for our big friends in the telecommunications industry. And, you know, we'll get around to your subpoena at some point. That's not good enough. That's not good enough. They need to comply with the subpoena. They need to comply with the rule of law. If you want to give us a call, there may be a little time for calls. I know there have been some trouble with that, but the toll-free number is 877-4-HEAD-ON, 877-443-2366. I just wanted to make clear that these are very old principles. They are principles that predate the Constitution of the United States. And let me read from some of the comments on the blog. Robert writes, "May Senator Chris Dodd stand strong on his promise and provide the basis that many senators do not vote for blind immunity. By immunizing the telecoms, won't the Bush administration assert this immunity as his own later?" Good point. Madeline, who writes as Mad Fuke on the internet, writes, "This kind of invasion of privacy we've seen gives us memories of the Nixon regime, how all was done for political purposes and had nothing to do with securing the safety of the country." Let me say to you, Madeline, I think it's a lot worse than Nixon. Richard Nixon, you recall, got in trouble because they broke into one office, the Democratic National Committee headquarters at the Watergate Hotel, the Watergate complex. That's it. That's all they did. There weren't thousands of records. There weren't hundreds of records. There was one place they broke in. Now, I'm not saying that's good, but a cover-up of one break-in? Think of the difference between a cover-up of one break-in of private information and a cover-up of stealing millions of Americans' private information and using it for political reasons. As we know now from even Mukasey has admitted the fact, who's going to be probably our next attorney general. Hopefully he'll do a better job. We'll see. Madeline goes on to talk about a whole number of things. By the way, if you haven't written on the blog, I want to encourage you to do so. It's at radioinsidescoop.com. There's a lot of wonderful comment there. Robert writes, when one calls the phone company, have you tried telling them that you are recording the conversation for quality control measures? Is it legal to record them like they do us when they try to discuss their business with him? Robert, I think it is legal, particularly if they're recording it. It does depend on the state, I should tell you, generally. If you tell them you're recording it, of course it's illegal. If you don't tell someone, it depends on the state. Under federal law, you are allowed to record a conversation.
This is the Quality News Network, the largest evacuation in California's history, taking place across seven southern counties. Devastating brush fires have forced at least 500,000 people from their homes. The fires have burned 640 square miles, or about 410,000 acres. Nearly 9,000 firefighters are battling those blazes. In Washington today, President Bush signed a major disaster declaration for Southern California. He'll visit the region tomorrow. The brush fires have so far caused an estimated $1 billion in damage in San Diego County alone. As many as five people have been killed because of the fires. At least 24 people have been injured, most of them firefighters. At least 1,500 homes have been destroyed. Los Angeles Times reports that a suspected arsonist was shot and killed last night, located by authorities in a remote, brushy area. The suspect reportedly crashed his car into police vehicles before the officers fired their weapons. The shooting, though, is under investigation. Military sources in Ankara say the Turkish Air Force and ground troops have conducted several raids into northern Iraq since Sunday. 34 Kurdish separatists were killed in those attacks. Two bombs exploded in a marketplace today on the outskirts of Baghdad. At least eight people, including children, were killed. Another 25 were wounded. Over the next decade, wars in Iraq and Afghanistan could cost up to an estimated $2.4 trillion. That's according to the nonpartisan Congressional Budget Office. The White House calls the estimate, quote, speculative. So far, the U.S. has spent more than $600 billion on both wars. South Korea says North Korea will begin dismantling its nuclear weaponry program by the middle of next month. In exchange, Pyongyang will receive 1 million tons of oil plus international political aid. Protests being held today in front of Chinese embassies in 12 major cities to commemorate the arrest exactly 12 years ago of Myanmar's Nobel Peace Prize winner, Aung San Suu Kyi. The Senate Homeland Security Committee today will list the federal government terrorist watch list, which has grown to more than 755,000 names, quadrupling since the year 2004. And French lawmakers.